traffic calming has its roots in Europe and its purpose in one objective: slow down traffic by building physical obstacles, like speed humps, narrower lanes, and traffic circles, or roundabouts. One of Champagne's few examples is on a quiet side street in an affluent neighborhood. Cars slow down for two speed humps in the asphalt of Waverly Drive, about 100 yards apart from each other. They span the whole width of the road, but are only about 4 inches high and 6 feet long. And when the cars clear the humps, they hit the gas again. Yellow warning signs tell drivers they're approaching the humps. Brown plastic reflector posts stand next to them in the lawns. They're here because Phyllis Robeson and others were worried about Waverly becoming a popular shortcut.
The concern had been there are no sidewalks. There are a lot of young children going back and forth, a lot of older people walking and people walking their dogs and things. And there was a lot of traffic going through here, and we were just concerned about the safety of the people out there walking.
But another neighbor, John Hirschfeld, considers the humps hindrances as he approaches his driveway in his pickup truck. He says before the side reflectors went up, drivers trashed his lawn driving around the humps, and now they get another kind of abuse.
But the thing that worries me most is that some of the motorcyclists use those to jump. And now that guy wasn't going across at 20 miles an hour. It just went by right there, I can guarantee you. They use it to jump. And kids use them for skateboards and those little electric power scooters. And they get out there and there's traffic coming.
Another concern, even though certain traffic calming techniques reduce speed and volume in other tests around the country, emergency crews worry that bumps, curves, or narrow lanes could add costly response time for a fire truck or an ambulance. Pleasing everyone all the time is out of the question when you're a public servant dealing with traffic flow. No one needs to tell that to Rick Marley, the City of Champaign's Assistant City Manager for Transportation.
When you work for the public, you find out pretty quickly that almost all the time you've succeeded in making about 40% of the people mad at you because of something that you do. It just seems that way.
Marley says the jury's still out on the success of speed humps on Waverly, and the city has no other immediate plans to use traffic calming elsewhere. But councilman and daily commuter Tom Bruno says another form of traffic calming, narrowing a stretch of the once four-lane Green Street in the busy campus town area, is working well, even if some drivers may complain about a slower commute.
I feel like it's a little bit more of an enjoyable drive because I'm not doing that frequent lane changing. So it's become a more pleasant area in which to be a motorist. Certainly, I'm sure it's a more pleasant area in which to be a pedestrian or a bicyclist.
The busy campus town corner of 6th and John is now custom-made for pedestrians. Audible warning signals guide visually impaired people across a corner with narrow traffic lanes. It's traffic calming at work. U of I civil engineering professor Ray Benekohal says the project seems to keep cars and people in harmony.
Traffic calming about 10, 15 years ago was new, and we were going through a lot of trials and errors. But by now we have improved the technique such that, you know, it's a lot of things we know now that what works and what doesn't. And some of these techniques that have been implemented, you know, it's pretty effective.
Benekohal is conducting a study on another experiment at creating a pedestrian-friendly campus. The two cities have put up yellow warning signs in the middle of certain crossings, warning that state law requires vehicles to yield or stop for pedestrians. One of these crossings, on Springfield Avenue, is equipped with flashing yellow lights that trip when sensors detect a pedestrian in the lane. The professor says some walkers seem to like the crossing warnings, but he hears others complain that they promote a false sense of security.
These signs somehow, you know, gives you the impression that you are protected or that the drivers will obey the law, but actually they don't. It's the same old habit of, you know, we all speed, most of us speed, some of us speed, and then we kind of ignore the right of the pedestrian. So then that's another perspective.
Benekohal plans to monitor the crossings and speak to drivers and pedestrians over the next few months. Next year, he'll let the U of I know how well they've worked. But municipal leaders already know that if they propose any method of encouraging drivers to hit the brakes, they'll get input, and a sizable portion of it will be griping. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.